Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is Kathy Campanelli, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Let's get serial.
Hello, everyone. This is David Marquez of the National Wrestling Alliance and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And you can catch Hollywood Wrestling coast to coast in syndication. Check your local listings and HollywoodWrestling.com, TV listings. Everything's there.
So welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got Matt Michaels here with me. How you doing, Matt?
Doing good. Just realized I still have an old gym membership tag on my keychain. Stupid things that you realize like 5 years later.
Right. You should try to go in and see if it's still active, you know? I mean, you know. Man, we gotta...
I should go in and still see if I'm active.
You and me both. Hey, we got a special guest on the line. Let me tell you, man, he's a professional wrestler, a musician, but my personal favorite, a magician, because I'm still one of the ones that trying to figure out people's magic tricks. It's crazy. I love it. But he is Mr. Outlandish Zicky Dice. How you doing, Zicky?
Outlandish Zicky Dice has made it to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, and guess what? We're going to start off outlandish right off the bat.
Okay.
Would you believe me if I told you that I am butt naked on my couch right now doing this podcast with you guys? Because I am.
You know?
That's what I call a Sunday fun day. I got home, let's see. I went and saw my favorite band, one of my favorite bands last night in Los Angeles with a few of the old school buddies. Mm-hmm. We went and saw Poison the Well at the El Rey Theater. Got home at 3:45 or to my buddy's house in Paso Robles. I slept for an hour and a half, and then woke up at 5:30 and drove home. And then I woke up to you guys calling me for this podcast, and here we are.
You know, the amazing...
Buck naked on the couch, baby.
The amazing thing about that is we're actually both buck naked right here at the table doing the podcast, too. So...
You see, that's what I'm talking about. That I knew I liked you guys.
Yeah.
I knew I felt the connection right off the bat.
That's right.
And, you know, Patreon is going to get the live video, so...
Oh, my Lord.
Cancel it. Sign up now. Yeah. And you don't know, if you're listening through your headphones, you can also watch the video version as we go.
Oh, man. You know... I think that DJ brought up a good thing, and instead of just going to your history and stuff like that, let's start a magic, because that is something that DJ's fascinated with.
I am.
You know, being out here in Vegas, we got a lot of great magicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's becoming something where you know, wrestling is now like becoming a place where you're seeing magic tricks happen.
Mm-hmm.
At what point?
I've been focusing up the magic tricks for a while. I grew up loving magic and Harry Houdini. I was just always drawn to it. It kept caught my attention at a very young age. I remember getting like a magic set very young. So I'm like, I wish I was a better magician and could do a lot more. You know, I get by it with some tricks, some street magic tricks and whatnot. It's just hard when I started introducing it into the ring. It's hard to fool like a 360-degree crowd, right? So I have my people surrounding me, so I'm very limited on what I can really do. I feel like I should start working on some new things, maybe trying to figure some things out. And I love magic. Is great. I'm a goal of mine always. I want to make a ring disappear one day.
Wow.
That would be awesome.
It's like a huge goal of mine. I think it's very possible, but we'll save that one for a rainy day.
Well, you know,
or who knows? Maybe I'll get a valet and saw in half on the way down to the ring, and saw my opponent in half in the ring.
Well, that brings up
maybe I saw one of you guys in half. Who knows?
Well, you know, that would be I know DJ would go for that, but it would freak him out, because he'd be the whole time for the rest of his life trying to figure how the hell did he get cut in half,
right? I would.
Yeah, it caused like one of those, like, he just, you know, we show up at his house and he's got a room with you know, pictures of me and the song in half and all these connecting the dots, and he's lost his mind. He's got a big old beard. We don't want to do that to him.
Actually, I might want to see this.
No, you don't.
Yeah. It does sound fun.
Have you tried reaching out to anyone in the magic community to get a little help in trying to solve the idea of how can I integrate more of this kind of bigger magic where, because you're at a 360, you know, everything is all around you audience-wise. I know there are certain magicians who, like, that's all they do is...
Yeah, and, you know, if there's anyone listening who has any ideas, feel free to reach out. A buddy of mine, he called me, he's like, you got to meet this comedian. He's like, he was doing, like, magic tricks, and he was super funny. He's all, just check him out. So I messaged this dude, and this dude messaged me, or I just follow him, and this dude messaged me right away. He's like, no way, you're a wrestler. And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And he's like, I started training to be a wrestler. It wasn't for me. He's like, I love wrestling, but I'm a magician now. I was all, dude. So me and him started talking, and we talked back and forth. I would like to talk to him a little more, but we bounced ideas back and forth. And the last we spoke, he's trying to get me to go down to the Magic Castle finally in Los Angeles, which I've been wanting to go there for a very long time. So we're trying to work that out, but I'm always into working with magicians and bringing in new ideas. Like, that's something I've been reaching out, and it's kind of hard to find because, yeah, you'll find a magician, but they won't understand professional wrestling. So it's a little tough to kind of cross it over, and I don't want to, like, keep explaining, like, why I can't do certain tricks, you know, when it's just better when you have someone who understands a little bit. Right. And you're like, oh, well, hey, why don't I try this or this, you know?
Well, it's, you know, and that's the best part about what you're doing is you're tying two things that kind of started in the same carnival aspect together, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about wrestling. That's the whole thing about magic. It's made for, and again, it's a dirty word, I guess, in the community, but it's made for marks. It's made for people who want to believe and who want to follow and you know, absorb it more. And I think that you're on the right path, and, you know, you might be able to do something that no one's been able to really break through with yet, and that is create something that's literally magic.
You know, I'm just here to entertain the masses, and if I can do that in a different way than others, so be it. My performance is very different right now. There's no one else really doing it in professional wrestling, which is cool. And I just deliver better than everybody else. So there's that. I don't know when we'll be seeing some more magic. I've kind of taken a little pause on it, to be honest. I didn't want everyone to expect, like, oh, it's a Zicky match. Like, well, he's going to do magic again, right? You know, or just rely on just being magic or falling into the category of being a comedy or Goo Goo Gaga wrestler, because right, that's not what I want as well. It doesn't mean I don't have tricks up my sleeve. You never know what you're going to see. That's all the more reason why you should be watching. They don't call me Atlantis for nothing.
Exactly. True. That's brilliant. Speaking of, you know, being taken seriously, you're participating with probably, I think, one of the most throwback and old school wrestling companies in NWA. What has the experience been like since, you know, the power, you know, episodes have started, and it's just such a great show? How much have you been able to kind of excel, because you've only been in the business for about 5 years?
I'll be honest with you. I'll tell it to you straight. It's been very hard to wrap my head around. hear me out here. Follow me here. You, like you said, I've been doing this 5 years ago. February, I made the decision to become a professional wrestler. Started training in April, May of 2015. I had my first match in August 2015. So I'm coming up on the 5 year mark, and I haven't always been outlandish Zicky Dice. It was Zicky Dice at first, and the character kind of morphed, and I'm making my rounds since graduating from the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy and wrestling all over the country. I wrestled in South Korea last April, and I've been doing this for a little while, and I've been blowing up promoters, being left on red, showing up at shows, setting up the ring, you name it. I was doing whatever I could to try and get my name out there because I knew this is what I wanted to do. I had been working for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood for about 3 years, which is Dave Marquez's promotion.
Yep.
And I had never gotten any camera time, no live promos, no backstage promos, nothing. I never complained. I just figured, you know, when it was time, I would get that. And just about, let's see, end of November, I think it was right after Thanksgiving, I had, no, right before Thanksgiving, wow, I had a booking that fell through. And I reached out to Championship Wrestling in Hollywood, and Yuma was able to get me on the show. And I show up, and I was there early on time. They're like, "Hey, Zicky, get dressed. You got a promo. You're dressed." I'm like, "Okay." Got dressed. Went out there and did the promo. I said 6 words. And all of a sudden, I was pulled back. I think it was Billy Trask. He's a producer at Hollywood and NWA, pulled me aside, and he's like, "Zicky, come here." And he's like, "Go this way." And I go around the corner, and I walk into David Lagana and Billy Corgan. I'm standing there waiting, and Billy grabs my hand with both of his hands, like, "Billy Corgan, nice to meet you." In my head, I'm like, "Yeah, no shit, dude. Like, I know. Yeah, I know who you are, you know?" And he's like, "Look at you." He's like, "Your hair, your earring, the glasses, the fanny pack." He's like, "What are you doing December 14th? And I stopped and paused, and I thought in my head, I was like, "Oh, maybe my fiance just booked a snow trip." And I responded, I was like, "I'm not doing anything, absolutely free." And he's like, "Well, how would you like to work for me in the NWA? And I was like, "I would love that." He's like, "Okay, Lagana will reach out on Monday." So that was just a case of right place, right time. You know, like everything I've been training for and busting my ass, like, led up to that moment, I believe. I didn't know what I was doing in Atlanta. I didn't know if I was going to be a part of the Circle Squared project they were doing, or going out there to put someone over. I didn't know what the plan was. And I got out there, and it was just unreal experience. Beautiful studio. You see the ring there. It's just like the history behind the NWA, and just the fact that, you know, I'm there to be a part of it was very, I don't know, very surreal. And then I debut on the show and start whooping ass in the NWA and taking names. And now I'm in the pay-per-view this Friday, Hard Times, going for the World Television title. And I couldn't be more excited. Everything, the game has completely changed since debuting on NWA. I've got, I think you are the 22nd or 23rd podcast and interview I've done this week between Heart to Heart and the Ice interviews.
Wow.
I've got some new bookings coming out with some promotions who used to leave me on red and reached out to me, so that's cool. I'm just seeing Zicky guys grow right before my eyes. That's been the plan the whole time, and here we are. Now it's go time.
You know, what's interesting when I think of what Billy might have saw in you is almost a modern-day Michael P.S. Hayes. It's almost like, you know.
You know what's so funny about that is when I went to WWE and did extra work in June, I was wearing, if you see any of the suits I wore or dressed the way I dressed, I was dressed like that. And Michael Hayes walked up to me and he's all, "God damn it, kid." He's all, "Are you trying to steal my style?" And this was in front of everybody in the back. And I was like, "I would never do that, Dad." And everyone started laughing so hard out of nowhere. He turned back and looked at me, and he started laughing his ass off. I get that a lot. And it's funny, like, now that I debuted, you know, like, getting Eddie Gilbert all these other mentions who I remind people of, and it's been pretty cool to see. You know, I get young Steve Corino all the time. You know, yep. I get, it's always different than whatever anyone sees. Diamond Dallas Page is another one.
Yep, sure.
What else did they say recently? I forgot. But yeah, you get them all, and it's super cool to see. It's very exciting, and I can't wait for the future to see what's next. This is what I've been working hard for, and now I've got a stage and platform where I can, develop and really make a name for myself and show the world now what I can do. And I'm excited to do that.
You know,
when you were transitioning, when you were given that idea of, hey, you should start wrestling, it came through the fact that you were starting to cut promos, essentially, or get heat from your audience.
I was acting like an asshole on stage with Heart to Heart, and you know, the fans would be singing along and then booing me in between songs, and then singing along and then booing again. I was just doing it for a few nights just to have fun, you know. And the tour manager, a good friend of mine, John James Ryan Jr., is like, you know what? I need to talk to you at the end of the night. And I thought we were getting kicked off the tour. And he pulled me aside. He's like, I think you need to become a professional wrestler. He's like, you're agile. You're athletic. He's like, you got this charisma. He's like, I really think you can do something in the wrestling business. And from there, I reached out to Seth Rollins. And I told him that I wanted him to train me. And he laughed at me. And I told him I was serious. And he said, all right, I'll see you in May. So I wrapped the tour. We were out with 4 years strong and Comeback Kid at the time. Wrapped up tour, got home, and packed up my shit and moved to Moline, Illinois, and started the journey there. What? So I graduated from the third graduating class of the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy, trained under Merrick Brave and Seth Rollins. I was one of 12 to be trained by a current WWE champion, which is super cool to have on the resume.
Yep.
I've been kicking ass ever since. I broke into business a little way. I was 26 when I got in. So I knew that, in my personal opinion, I thought going to Black and Brave would be the best option for me. And I'm very glad that I did so. And I'm very proud to be representing Black and Brave every day.
What was your favorite thing to do in Moline? I'm from the Chicago area and went to school in Normal in Bloomington there. So I know Moline, and was it cow tipping maybe, or
running through the cornfield, or hanging out outside the John Deere spot? Yeah. I mean, that was it. That was really it.
It's almost a brilliant place to have the academy because of the fact that you can't really get into too much trouble.
I loved it. I loved the change. It was different for me. I grew up by the beach in California, and it was a big change of pace for me. And believe it or not, me and the fiance are actually talking about moving back to Illinois area. I enjoyed it so much. And I even mentioned Davenport and Moline, believe it or not. It was peaceful. It was great. You get the four seasons, and I don't know. I was into it, believe it or not. I didn't think I would be, but I'm into it.
You know what? And I think that there's fond memories of it too. And that kind of, you know, ties it into wanting to go and maybe start, you know, a family in that type of area, because I think.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at now. I mean, main reason is too, we want to get bigger bang for our buck. California is just so expensive for everything.
Yep.
Gas, milk, eggs, housing. You name it. So, and we're ready for a change, ready for something different. And, you know, looking to start a little family here in the next few years myself. So, I'm getting married this year in October.
Nice.
Thing I've ever done. I'm just riding the wave of life, man, trying not to fall off the board.
Is there something that, your fiance, in talking about wedding and planning his wedding, is there something that she is dead set on that maybe, you know, isn't necessarily Zicky style, but, you know, it's like, hey.
Well, let me put it to you this way. When I had proposed, after I proposed, I pitched my plan for my dream wedding. I was like, hear me out. I wanted like a circus tent, but picture like a Great Gatsby's like type of wedding, right? Like,
yeah.
Like real like nice and elegant with like magicians walking around dressed up real sharp and like guys on stilts and carnival games. Everything looks real nice. I pitched that for the wedding. That's been like my whole life dream, and it was shut down in 3 seconds. So,
I learned
my first lesson in getting married, and that is compromise, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Compromise.
Yes.
So yeah, we, she's the boss. She runs everything by me, and she has like a 60-40 vote, you know, so it works.
You get 40? You get 40.
Yeah, I get 40. Do you believe that?
Oh, man, because I get about 20 of that. It's 80-20, but, you know.
But you get to look, you get to raise an eyebrow. That's, right. That's all you get. I mean, like I said, we're still in the honeymoon phase that's of true. The relationship, so I'm sure my numbers will be going down here.
There you go. Yeah, I'm almost 15 years in, so that's what's doing that. So that's awesome.
Wait, hold on. And I'm getting some heat. Oh. She said I have 50%.
Oh.
With a smirk on her face. She's right next to me as I'm Captain Pod with these fellas.
Yeah.
And while I'm naked on the couch still, she's in with her socks and under a blanket.
You know, it's interesting when you're talking about starting a family. You were, I fair to say, best friends essentially with your dad, and you have a wonderful tribute to him in the tattoo.
Yes, yeah.
What would you say? What would you say was one of the most valuable things that you think about all the time that he, you know, either did with you or gave to you?
Oh man, that would be, that's a great question. And the only thing that comes to mind is the mirror to me. And even like outlandish Vicky dads, like I see a lot of my dad in me. Like that's where I get the wild character from. and just like the charisma, I think he had that all along his whole life, but I'm just a little bit more extreme. So I see a lot of him in me, which is very cool and very motivating at the same time. He loves professional wrestling and wanted me to be a professional wrestler when I was young, and that's what got me into, you know, amateur wrestling, if you will. And that's been really cool. You know, I think BOZ is going to be pretty proud.
Is there a particular, you know, when you have kids, what is something that you would say to them in terms of getting them to know who their grandfather was?
Oh man, I would say he was very wise and very smart. He always taught me like one thing I live by. He said, "Winners do what losers don't." He used to always tell me that, so I would pass that along. You know, and that works in all aspects of life, and I've kind of used that motto. You know, to get me through and keep me motivated and keep me, even when I want to go in the towel, just keep me going. So I will definitely do my best to explain and share, like, what, luckily still got some home videos and stuff like that and the collection, and do my best to kind of share and explain who he was.
Yeah, that's wonderful that, you know, you're going to be able to keep his memory alive in not only what you're doing, but, you know, having a family and being able to, you know, give that part of him that he's not able to give to the kids. And that's wonderful, man.
I agree. You have some good questions here, man. I like this. it's fun for me. No, seriously, it's a lot of fun. You make me think, and I like that, you know, because I like that we've been, it's been a different podcast. This is great, man. This is an exclusive here we got going.
Yeah, well, that's what we aim for, man, is to you know, we want people to follow you for the rest of your life, man. And I think that's giving an inside look into, you know, who you are is important. And I think that one of those things is the fact that you have this amazing little about 4-minute spot out right now for Indeed.com. And man, I just, even thinking about it, it makes me smile. Can you explain a little bit of what you do in terms of, you know, giving back to? It's awesome.
I'm so lucky to land that Indeed spot. I was sitting on the computer one day, and they're like, "Oh, did you find your job through Indeed?" And I was like, "Actually, yeah, we did." So I applied, and they're like, "Oh, we're looking for different people." So I just sent them a Vicky Dice promo. It was actually a video for me at Dennis Rodman's birthday party. And I did magic at Dennis Rodman's birthday party once.
Wait, we got we got to talk about this for a second. So,
I had worked for Black Craft Wrestling when Black Craft Wrestling was around, and I made buddies with a few of the guys from there, and they would help me with my website and some merch designs and graphics here and there still. And they were like, he hit me up one day, I got to get you down here to hang out with Dennis Rodman. We're barbecuing lobster tails with Dennis Rodman. And I was like, bullshit. You know, I was like, bullshit. Because, like, and then he sends me a picture of them barbecuing lobster tails with Dennis Rodman. I was like, what the hell? He's like, yeah. He's like, we're good homies with him. He comes over all the time. And then I was like, this is so weird. And he said, what are you doing next Saturday? And I said, I don't know. Why? He's like, come and do magic at Dennis Rodman's birthday party in character. And I was like, no way. And he's like, I'm dead serious. He's like, show up. He's like, get in character, walk around the party, and just do a few magic tricks. So I did. Me and my fiance drove down to Southern California, and we went to this house. It was like an episode of Entourage. I'm not even kidding you. Like, dude, we walked in and we're like, what the hell? Where are we? You know, and we are in fact at Dennis Rodman's birthday party. And I got dressed in my gear, undies and everything, and I walked around the party and did magic tricks. We're like, there was like NFL players there, NBA players, the lawyers in the industry. I didn't know who was who, dude. And like, I was just, I just telling the story out loud. It sounds so unreal, but I'm telling you, this happened. This is a real story, you know? Dennis Rodman then would cut a promo for 10 minutes on life and was staring at me the whole time, and he left his own birthday party, and that was that. And he was in pajamas in a robe. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'll send you guys a video. I should repost it now because I don't, like, I got to post that video. I'll do that this week. So I sent that to the Indeed crew, and I was immediately called back, believe it or not. And they're like, okay, well, so what do you do? What job did you find? And I work with adults with vulnerable disabilities, and I worked with a specific case, and he was featured in the video. His name's Jake. And me and my brother worked with Jake specifically. They couldn't find staffing for Jake, and I had been in the field for, I think, 10, 11 years at this point. And I took on the challenge, and me and my brother were able to flip around Jake's whole behavior in life, and we were able to do a lot of things that we were told that he wouldn't do, and we were able to just understand Jake, and we got him working, we got him able to go to the store, and if you check out this Indeed video, it's on YouTube, if you search Jobs Change Us, or go to jobschangeus.com, Indeed, search Nick's story, or type in Zicky Dice, this pops up. The first edit, I wish they would have kept the video. It was about 8 minutes.
Okay.
We filmed for, they came out here, we filmed for 3 days. There's a lot of stuff that didn't make the cut, but that's just how life goes. I'm very happy with how it came out. Don't get me wrong. I do think that the 8 minute cut was a little bit more informative and a little bit more emotional. And I thought it was super cool. We were able to share the story about just wrestling and me working with that community. If I wasn't wrestling, that's what I'd be doing. That's where my other passion is. I do not want to work with the general public by any means. Love working with awesome people, and I've learned a lot about myself in the field, and it's very rewarding. It's more than just a damn paycheck, I'll tell you that. You know, it had its days, very stressful. But it's a job that I love, and I have best friends. Like, Jake is, I was just talking to his dad this week about getting Jake to the wedding. I want to have Jake at my wedding and have him stand up there somehow when I say I do. And I've got a tattoo for Jake on my leg. Like, Jake he became one of my best friends in life, and it's very grateful for that. So if you have a moment, please check out that Indeed video. It's very informative on if you want to get to know me or just see a little bit more on what I do in my real life. So.
Well, and I think one of the heartfelt, well, I mean, this is what really got me is, you know, it was done well. It was produced very well. But one moment just of you saying, I love you to him.
That is my favorite. He says it right back. I love you. And
Yeah.
I love Jake very much. Me and Elaine picked him up for, when we had him, Christmas, we had him over. We brought him over to our house for Christmas. We get him gifts. He's a part of the family. And his dad is very cool with us. I'm so proud of Jake. Jake just moved out of his house. He's been living here for the last, I don't remember how many years. He moved into an adult home, so Jake's kicking all the ass right now.
Nice.
Jake is graduating high school this year. He's kicking all the ass, and I couldn't be more happy for him, you know? And I'm very, I've grown close with his family as well through it. And it's so rewarding, and it's so awesome, you know? And I don't know. Like, the main thing is I would love Nicky Dice to be so successful because, John Cena has granted like the most wishes ever. I would love to try and beat that. You know, I would love to try and give back, to community and people that mean so much to me and deserve a whole lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I think is why it's in your wheelhouse and why performing is your wheelhouse as well, is that you are a very relatable person. You know, you could see that you take the time, like when you're talking to him in the video, it's just so interpersonal. You make a connection. And I think that's what you do with audiences too. You know, whether you being a singer or you being a wrestler, you make a connection with the audience, which is one of the most important things.
That's what it's all about. And that's what I try to explain. Like, I'm an emotional salesman is what I say. I sell emotion. Yeah. Okay. I don't want, if you're coming to Heart to Heart Show, I want to make you feel something. You're going to watch Nicky Dice. I'm going to make you feel something completely different than you did right before you saw me. That is my goal. That is my job because I also struggle with some anxiety, depression, and PTSD. And I'm on a platform now where I can talk about that a little more. And I don't want people feeling the way that I do on my darkest days. So that's why I do what I do, is to make people feel something else. You know, I want to be motivating and trying to like change the line along the way. That's the whole reason why I'm doing this. You know, it's more than just the glitz and glam, you know, and it's hitting the curtain. I got a whole lot more invested in this, and I got a lot of people who don't even know what I'm doing that I'm doing it for, you know?
Right.
Jake being one. So.
Yeah, it's, you know what, and that's the wonderful thing, and I think that, you know, success is what you make of it. You know, people judge success from an outside perspective of, you know, oh, money or fame or this and that. Whereas you're the only one who's able to say what to you is a success. And I think that, you know, your mindset and your focus is just right, you know, in that wheelhouse of, it takes a lot of balls to one day go, hey, Seth, I want to be a wrestler. And when he, you know, when he said it back to you, you know, kind of in that like condescending, like really type of way, you know, and just reading this in an interview with you, the response that you're going to be the best just shows that you have that desire and passion. And I think that anyone who's listening to this and who wants to, you know, be a doctor or be a police officer or a wrestler or, you know, a circus acrobat, if they have that kind of drive that you do, they'll be able to succeed.
Dude, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And, you know, I was told when Heart to Heart was starting off, you know, that, oh, you'll never leave mom's garage. You're going to be stuck at a bar band, being a bar band. And, like, you know, we end up getting on Warp Tour and all these big tours and living the dream. Like, I'm living the dream. Everything else is just a bonus now. You know, and it's fun. I've been trying to take more time. I've been making it a priority to stop and enjoy the little moments like this. Because if not, it's just going to pass you by and we won't be able to enjoy any of it. I want to be living proof for everyone. I want to be that success story where I'm like, damn, that kid actually did it. You know, and people have known me since elementary school, and they'll tell you, like, this is what I talked about. This is why it was hard for me to focus in class. And even though I was smart, like, I knew I was destined for more. And I'm not anywhere near where I want to be yet, but I'm on the road there. I'm just got to stop and appreciate it. So I want to be, like I said, you can go and do whatever you want. You just put your mind to it. Literally, that's it. Whatever you want. Don't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. Make yourself undeniable and treat people with respect along the way, and the rest will fall into place. I guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zicky, I got to ask you, I mean, when you, you and Seth Rollins, when you got connected with him, did you really believe that he was going to train you when you threw it out there? And, you know, did you really think he was going to really take you on and show you the ropes?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask him, he'll have a different response. Like, I knew he was going to train me, but he'll tell you, and we did an interview with AP Magazine a few years back, mm-hmm. and I believe it was in there, he said, and he's even said before, that he didn't think I was going to take it serious. He thought that I was just going to bullshit my way through this, mm-hmm. Because coming from the music, that was super cool, you know, that actually meant a lot to me, and, you know, got me choked up, to be honest with you, you know, it's like, damn, that's all I wanted. It took me, like,
yeah,
a while to get that, you know, get that approval, and,
right.
And like I said, whether they like it or not, whether I like it or not, I represent Black and Brave every single day.
So down the line, let's say, 10 years down the line, and hopefully it would happen sooner, but could you see you, Seth, in that battle of student versus teacher?
That's my dream match. Everybody asks who I want to wrestle, yeah. And the answer is Seth Rollins. I would love that. That's the goal.
Just know
in that moment, if it's years from now, when it happens, when after this podcast, years down the line, you see that flyer for that match, just know when I'm in that ring that everything has made sense. Life has come through a full circle, and this is why I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing.
Do you think that it would be just an amazing psychology to, you know, because I can only imagine, one of my trainers was Samoa Joe. I could just imagine what the psychology would be like, you know, wrestling, right. You know, here's someone that, you know, everyone looks up to, everyone knows. And yet I know from this perspective of him and the things that you could possibly do, I just would love to see it just from a psychology standpoint. That would just be amazing, man.
And I mean, no kidding. It's the goal. It's the goal.
All right. Favorite movie?
Oh, man. The Crow.
The Crow, really? One of my favorite
movies. Yeah. Brandon Lee.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
One of my all-time faves. I think, you know what? Now that you bring that up, I think maybe you're a fan to watch it. Kind of interested in this movie. Yeah, I love The Crow. What about you? What's your favorite movie?
DJ, what is yours?
Oh my god, that's going to be real difficult.
Yeah, it's tough. I just try to go with. I mean, I got that. I got my Kill Bill series. I love Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, you know the Matrix. I mean, I love the Matrix.
The Roxbury. Yeah. Oh, I just watched the Matrix last week.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's probably my favorite.
So good.
All right, Zicky. So right now, as we beginning to wind down the show, is there anything that you want to promote, any event, or even your social media so we can keep up with what's happening with you?
Sure thing. Just a few quick things and we're out of here. First thing, Heart to Heart's new record, Heartbreaker, drops Valentine's Day 2020 on In Vogue Records, and that's available everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere you stream and listen to music, go ahead, please check that out and pick that up. Also, you can follow my outlandish journey that I call life on every piece of social media platform. It's nice and simple, at Zicky Dice. And also, please tune in to NWA Power every Tuesday at 6:05 p.m. on YouTube.
Awesome, man.
That's it. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Hey, man, thank you for hanging out with us, man. We definitely appreciate it.
Anytime. You know, we'll have to do this again.
We absolutely will. Everyone, Zicky Dice.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.